Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Welcome back, American Savages, to The Savage Truth. I am your host, Cicely Davis. I'm excited to be here. Yet another. I'm two consecutive shows in a row. Sunny day here in Minnesota. I'm super excited to be here. We're going to have some fun today. We're going to do something a little different today. I'm excited to bring you along. If you're new to the channel, you picked an awesome episode to join me in. Going to do something a little unorthodox here. I'm going to bring you along. Thank you so much for making the decision to join me and to allow me to speak into your life and hear my perspective and form your own and maybe respond. I'd love that. I do have an ask for you there, and that is to come on back next time. Bring somebody with you and tell someone about the show. If you have been joining me for quite some time from the beginning or just last week, or maybe in the middle of this whole ride, I thank you so very much for your loyalty and tuning in. Your support means absolutely everything. Now, if you're new or someone who has been with me for a while, I have an ask for all of you, and it is this: to please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube, and let's get into the fun, all right? Now, as I said, I'm going to do something a little different today. I found some reels while I was scrolling on social media and just wanted to share what's going on in culture today. Now, my first two will be political, and I think I round out in the end with some political ones, but I'm going to bring some other reels forward just to offer a glimpse, not of social media per se, but more so of what's going on in society in general. This should be fun. I'm going to take a little rest on our heavy, heavy politics and talk about kind of what's going on in culture. So here's the first one of Nigel Farage. Starting out with Nigel, known for his blunt and unapologetic stance on immigration, recently humbled a liberal woman in a heated debate, pointing out the undeniable social failures that unchecked immigration has caused in both the UK and relatively in the United States. Now, his response highlighted the strain immigration has placed on public services, cultural cohesion, and national security. Here's the video.
After this liberal schmuck tried asking a gotcha question, Nigel Farage humbled her, and her reaction is priceless.
Would you admit that this country would be nothing without our rich history of immigration?
Well, I tell you what. And this is what's gone wrong, because you talk about immigration, and it ran from after the war up until the millennium at net 30 to 40,000 a year. And yes, it worked. In fact, we had the most successful immigration policies of any country in the whole of Europe, no question. Now, it is so totally out of control. Just think about this. 2.5 million people have come in the last 2 years. You wonder why you can't get a house. You wonder why your rents have gone up 25% in 4 years. You wonder why our infrastructure is struggling. You wonder why, we have to build a new house every 2 minutes just to cope with the numbers. And that's the issue. It's now running at numbers that are literally unimaginable and are diminishing the quality of life of everybody in this country. And frankly, this should be the biggest issue of this election.
Wow. Nigel Farage delivered a powerful response to a liberal woman on the subject of immigration, obviously. And I just absolutely loved the look on her face. He was calling attention to the social and economic failures that both the UK and, again, relatively United States have faced as a result of their lenient immigration policies. The previous administrations. OK, I don't want this to stick to Donald Trump at all. Farage made it clear that mass unchecked immigration has overwhelmed public services, strained healthcare systems, and exacerbated the cultural and social divide in both countries. He also did a great job of pointing out why you can't find housing or why it's more expensive, right? He pointed out that how these policies driven by a liberal agenda of open borders have led to increased crime rates, economic hardships and constraints, housing availability for working class citizens, and a loss of national identity. Farage's message was simple. When a country opens its doors without considering the long-term consequences, the average citizen is left to bear the brunt of that burden. I mean, Farage's remarks are spot on. The failure to properly vet and integrate immigrants has caused long-lasting damage in both the UK and the US, undermining social cohesion and creating parallel communities that often do not align with the values of the wider society. They absolutely need to assimilate. The focus should be on prioritizing national interests, ensuring that immigration benefits the economy and strengthens the communities rather than draining resources and creating divisions. Farage's response serves as a wake-up call for the dangers of unchecked immigration policies pushed by the left. The reality is that countries need to take control over their borders, establish clear limits, and protect their citizens from the negative consequences of ill-planned immigration. Now, the next video features someone we all know very well, Senator Ted Cruz out of Texas, in a savage moment, and he has a lot of those, in keeping with the theme of illegal immigration, as he annihilates Alejandro Mayorkas. Take a look.
Democrats will have a tough time trying to argue with this one.
You're a lawyer. You know how to answer questions. This is a photograph from just one day along the Rio Grande of hundreds of thousands of people walking across the border. You have allowed this to happen. The photograph that was before. What are these wristbands?
I don't know what they are.
You don't know what they are. Mr. Secretary, you have just testified to the American people you're incompetent at your job. Along the southern border, you see thousands of these wristbands because the illegal immigrants wear them. The cartels, every color corresponds to how many thousands of dollars they owe the cartels. You have turned these cartels into multi-billion dollar criminal organizations, and these are modern day leg irons because these are children being sold into slavery, and you don't even know what they are. That is astonishing. Mr. Secretary, I want to say to you right now, your behavior is disgraceful, and the deaths, the children, they are at your feet.
Now, Alejandro Mayorkas has proven to be a complete failure with a capital F in his role as Secretary of Homeland Security, with his disastrous handling of illegal immigration, underscoring his incompetence and lack of leadership. Now, under his watch, the U.S. has seen record-breaking numbers of illegal border crossings, as we all know, overwhelming border patrol agents, and straining our immigration system to its breaking point. Now, Mayorkas' policies have not only failed to secure the border, but have also emboldened criminals and cartels while leaving American citizens vulnerable. Senator Ted Cruz's fierce, savage cross-examination of Mayorkas in the Senate highlighted just how ineffective and out of touch he truly was. Cruz relentlessly grilled Mayorkas on his failures, exposing the hollow rhetoric and lack of action behind his promises. Mayorkas's inability to defend his catastrophic policies, combined with his refusal to take responsibility for the chaos at the border, makes it clear that his leadership has been a total disaster, a total failure for our entire country. Now, as we move on to video number three, I'm going to take a little bit of a shift, take a break from politics, and show what teachers are going through. This was a viral video of teachers showing up to school dressed as students. While it was meant to be humorous, it highlights a deeper, more concerning trend in our education system. Teachers parading around in oversized backpacks, hoodies, and backwards hats may seem funny at first, but it's a clear reflection of the growing confusion about the role of educators and the purpose of schooling. Now, our schools should be places where students are taught not only academic knowledge, but also discipline, respect, and the value of hard work, right? We're supposed to be building great, responsible citizens. Instead, what do we see? We see teachers participating in gimmicks that blur the lines between authority figures and students, all to make a point, by the way. It's to make a point about undermining authority and the need to foster a proper learning environment. This type of behavior signals that we've lost sight of the fundamentals of education with the way the students show up dressed, okay? Where respect for the teacher and the student dynamic is key to success, right? So they used humor to point this out. However humorous this can be. It's an effective tool, I believe, in addressing real concerns. And the viral video does just that. It uses laughter to point out a disturbing reality. Our schools have become more about coddling and less about preparing students for the challenges of the real world because these students, these teachers, I mean, haven't had any say. We've gotten away from teaching core values and focusing on building strong, disciplined citizens. This video is a wake-up call that we need to return to the basics. Teachers need to lead with authority and professionalism. They should have a say as to, you know, basic things like dress code and behaviors and decorum in the classroom. And schools must refocus on their core mission of education and not these core behavior issues. As a society, we need to reevaluate the direction of our education system before it deteriorates any further. And this viral moment underscores the importance of addressing these issues head on. Let's watch the video.
These teachers really gave their best on Teachers Dressed as Students Day, and it's hilarious.
Huh? Got a jacket on. My mama see me walk out the house like this. What'd you say? I couldn't hear you. My headphones off.
It's turned off.
Stop the count. Oh, God.
Ladies, pay attention. We're taking notes. Can
hold
you look
on.
Up here?
I just gotta get this done. Just hold on real quick.
I'm about to move on to the next slide. It's for your exam.
Gosh, all right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, my mama ain't doing no work today. On phone now.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Put your cell phone in the bucket.
Mickey, una pose más rápida.
Andale. Wait, it's my mom's texting. It's my mom. Hold on.
Oh, I got a pass. I'm good. I got a pass.
Go to class.
Man,
I'm hungry.
God, I'm not gonna go to class.
Yeah, we're skipping.
Wow, that was absolutely, I think that was so very effective. Now, next up is a teacher who actually has been viral for quite some time. Now, from what I can gather, he is a teacher. It looks like his name is B. Dallas with a hashtag more than a teacher hashtag. Now, when I first saw him, he was teaching classrooms about 2 years ago. I believe he first surfaced for me personally, and it seems with a high population of students of color in his classroom. So he was teaching them and looked like he was focusing on proper English, kind of teaching them to use proper English, keeping them to stray away from slang and Ebonics. Now, since then, he has had his videos grow, bringing humor to a real problem. Students here in America with a poor handle on the English language. And now that President Trump has declared English as the official language of the United States, this is vitally important. It is in this viral video, he pokes fun, this B. Dallas, at the ridiculous names this generation has named their children. Take a look and see.
Tylenol.
It's Tylenol, like the medicine.
Air apostrophe.
It's Erica.
Okay. This is Kay Weston.
It's question.
Like a question. Gonorrhea.
Hold on, no. It's Janaria.
J-A-E apostrophe.
It's Jacob.
Second part, Moro.
No, it's tomorrow.
Kylie Griffey.
My name is Calligraphy. Calligraphy.
Your Majesty, right here.
These are absurd names that the past two generations have chosen for their children. Names like Curvassier and Ecstasy, and even Apple, are a prime example of how society has strayed from tradition and common sense. Now, while parents may think that they're being unique or trendy, they're actually setting their children up for a lifetime of unnecessary challenges. Names like these are not only hard to take seriously in professional and social settings, but they also invite judgment and ridicule, making it harder for the individual to be taken seriously as they grow older. In a society that values hard work and competence and respect, these flashy, outlandish names can be a major hindrance. It's something these parents need to think about. Children with names that stand out for all the wrong reasons may struggle to fit into traditional societal structures, facing challenges that could affect their self-esteem. It could affect job prospects and social acceptance. And instead of choosing names based on fleeting trends or attempts at individuality, it's time we start considering the long-term impact of the child's future and the values we want to instill in them. Let's move on. Oh my gosh, I'm having so much fun. These videos are great. You know, the disrespectful behavior of today's student body, particularly in public schools, is an alarming trend that undermines the authority of teachers and makes it nearly impossible for them to effectively manage their classrooms. Teachers are constantly forced to deal with violence, with threats, and daily disruptions that prevent them from focusing on what they should be, their primary goal, educating students. These educators are expected to maintain order and discipline while simultaneously trying to teach a curriculum, all without the proper support or resources. It's clear that teachers need to be empowered in the classroom. We need school choice by all means as well, given the authority to discipline students and enforce rules without the fear of being overruled by administrators or school boards. Local authorities and school boards must step up and provide the support needed to ensure that classrooms, especially in the public education system, are places of respect and focus, not chaos. Only by restoring the proper balance of discipline in education can we ensure that students are truly learning and are prepared for their futures rather than continuing to foster an environment of disorder that only sets them up for failure later in life. Now, here's a video of teachers being fed up, particularly with cell phones and letting the students have it. Let's watch.
You don't have good sense because you're sitting here arguing with me and you're making me mad, and I'm going to send you to the office if you don't shut up.
There's 8 minutes until spring break. Why would you take my phone?
Because I hate him.
Why would you do that?
No pomegranates. No, 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 no pomegranates.
I had it with the phones.
I'm tired of telling y'all to put your phones up. I said it 4 times before the bell.
What the hell? Shut up. Shut up.
Oh, boy. Well, they had it. And I can understand. I mean, you can only ask so many times and you can only take so much. Now, let's talk about the feminist movement, because for far too long, the feminist movement has unjustly tilted child custody and child support hearings in favor of women, often painting men as the villain and disregarding their rights as fathers. Men have been raked over the coals, facing biased family courts that routinely grant women primary custody while imposing heavy child support payments without regard for fairness or their involvement in their children's lives. This systemic bias has left countless fathers struggling to maintain a meaningful relationship with their children while being financially burdened. However, under the Trump administration, a shift towards a more fair and balanced justice system has emerged, aiming to level the playing field. Men are now seeing more opportunities to advance and advocate for equal custody rights, and women who neglect their children are being held accountable finally to pay their fair share. This new approach restores fairness to the family courts, ensuring that both parents are held to the same standards and that children's well-being, rather than political agendas or bias or personal vendettas, take priority. Now, here's a video of the script being flipped on this deadbeat mom. Watch the video.
My ex over here, she need to be coming up off the insurance money for these kids.
Okay, what are their ages?
16, 12, and 9. Two of the kids, mine. I just take care of the little third one because she won't come around. But I don't get any insurance payments or any assistance.
I don't think the mother should pay child support to the father.
We'll touch on that comment you just made.
That's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of stuff I have to deal with. She don't want to do nothing for the children.
How much is it that you make a year?
He only makes what? A garbage? You pick up garbage?
My job is waste management. While she trying to trip, it's waste.
Pick up trash,
management.
Drop off trash, and then pick up trash and pay for it with my coinage. So I don't feel that I should need to pay him anything extra.
How much money do you send him on a monthly
basis? I send my children $750 a month.
You're saying that's how much money that you've given him every single month?
Every single month.
Skirt! $55.
So we are going to grant the back child support to dad. It's going to come out to $2,760.
Wow, that was so enjoyable. It was so great. It's always so great to see justice, right? I'd like to, matter of fact, that was so great. I'm going to show you another one. Watch this.
How much money do you make?
$180,000 a year.
$180,000 a year. Yes. How much of that $180,000 are you giving dad?
They love their mother dearly because I'm there for them. What memories are you making with them? Do they
hold on.
They love the park.
Here's the memory we're getting ready to make because I made my ruling. You have capped out, according to Texas guidelines, your gross is $9,200 a month. Child support is set at $2,300. You're gonna do reimbursement to Medicaid for $276, making your monthly child support payment $2,576.
That's how much you gotta pay.
No, that's how much you gotta pay.
Thank you, Your Honor.
The children live with him.
Thank you, Your Honor.
I don't see the celebration.
Thank you.
Wait a minute. What happened to the celebration? Because you're the one that's paying that $2,576. The children live with him. He should not pay you anything. Did you have any questions about that number?
Not at this time, Your Honor.
Now, for those of you who have been watching me for a while and have gotten to know me a little bit, you know that I despise the black monolith and love to see those who support real racism to be shut down, okay? Now, here's Sir Larry Elder on The Breakfast Club giving it to Charlemagne the God on the falsity, on the lie, and the non-existence of a racist America. Watch it. One of my favorites.
This man was banned on the spot after having the most brutal response about racism in America.
In America, 60% of the shootings, the robberies, and the homicide to kill him at are committed by black people, often against other black people. You can't blame it on poverty. You can't blame it on racism. It is the breakdown of the nuclear intact family, and neither side is talking about it.
Let me ask you a question. What do white people do wrong?
What do you mean, what do white people do wrong? I'm not worried about white people. I'm worried about what's going on with us.
There's systemic racism in this country, which we know it is.
No, I don't say there is. You say there is. I don't believe it.
You ever heard the term, nigga wake-up call?
No.
It is an incident where a person of color forgets that they are of color and are reminded rather brutally by an unexpected act of racism.
I'm acutely aware, Charlemagne, that I'm a black person, just as you are a black person. And when Joe Biden insulted you by saying, you ain't really black, we don't know whether or not you want to vote for me or vote for Donald Trump. And Joe Biden has lied for decades about his civil rights record, claiming that he desegregated movie theaters and restaurants in Wilmington, Delaware, when he didn't do any of that. And he came in here and told you aren't even black and let you think a certain kind of way. It seemed to me that should have been a nigga wake-up call for you, but it wasn't, apparently.
I love it that this is so ineffective today, right? The argument that Charlemagne the God has gotten played so much, it no longer has effect. No one cares about a bunch of black people screaming racism when it doesn't apply and there is no evidence of it. That card has been overplayed, severely overplayed. Now, you hear Charlemagne ask, well, what do white people do wrong? In other words, he's saying that, you know, black Republicans, black conservatives only focus on what black people do wrong or how they are at fault or where the culture is faulty and not focus or point fingers at whites, right? This is all that same victimhood take. But here's the truth. The ideology of the black monolith and black supremacy does nothing but hurt black Americans rather than help them. You've heard me say it before. While it claims to empower black communities, it instead fosters division and resentment and a victim mentality, which ultimately holds individuals back and doesn't push them forward. It doesn't advance them. By focusing on racial identity as the defining characteristic, it disregards personal responsibility and hard work and the pursuit of excellence, values that uplift all Americans, regardless of race. This mindset encourages a dependency on the government and fosters an us versus them mentality, which only further alienates Black Americans from mainstream society and the opportunities it provides. True empowerment comes from equal opportunity. It comes from personal accountability, and it comes from integration into a society where individuals are judged by their character and merit and accomplishments, their experiences, not the color of their skin. The focus should be on building unity. It should be on self-reliance and progress, not perpetuating a narrative that keeps people trapped in a cycle of division and grievance. The best thing about all that I just said is that we are now at a point where people are standing up and speaking out. They don't care about being called a racist any longer or a bigot or any other phobic name, right? It has grown old. Truth is reigning and garbage is being thrown out, okay? Which leads me to the final video. Last, but certainly not least, as always, there's some loudmouth, wrong, and racist squad member running their mouth, and this congressman takes it to Ayanna Pressley. And such a savage moment. I love it. Take a look at the final video.
This congressman just ended the race debate in a few seconds.
Please keep Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s name out of your mouths. Yes. When he was a proud and unapologetic Black man fighting for equality for Black Americans and all marginalized people.
I appreciate my Democrat colleague for exemplifying exactly the kind of oppression of freedoms that we're referencing. How about we'll quote whoever we want to quote? How about that's my First Amendment right? How dare a white Republican quote Martin Luther King? We actually had a congressman say that just now in this committee. Well, thank you, good lady, for once again exemplifying the type of oppression that we stand against. We will continue to speak freely because I'm a veteran. That's the country that I serve. That's the Constitution I sworn allegiance to. That oath has no expiration date.
How about we'll quote whoever we want to quote? And that is a savage truth. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, as always, to be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time. I'm Cicely.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.